ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 13, titled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, text number 32. Since there is no purport, we will be reading 33 as well. Tatra Sanjaya Masinam Paprachho Dvigna Manasa Gavalgane Konastato వృథోహీనశ్చ నేత్రయోః. తత్ర దేర్ సంజయం అంటు సంజయ ఆసీనం సీటెడ్ పప్రచ్ఛన్ హి ఇన్క్వైర్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఉద్విగ్న మానసః ఫిల్డ్ విత్ యాంగ్జైటీ Gaval Gane. The son of Gaval Gana Sanjaya. Kwa. Where is? Naha. Our. Tataha. Uncle. Vruddhaha. Old. Hina cha. And bereft of. Netrayoho. The eyes. Translation. Maharaj Yudhishthir, full of anxiety, turned to Sanjaya, who was sitting there, and said, O Sanjay, where is our uncle who is old and blind? Since there is no purport, I'll read the next one.
Ambacha hada putrata prithivya kva gada suhrit apimaya akrada pranje hada bandhu sabhariya asamsamana shamalam gangayam dukhito patat.
Where is my well-wisher, Uncle Vidra, the mother of Gandhari, and Mother Gandhari, who is very afflicted due to all the son's demise? My uncle Dhritarashtra was also very mortified due to the death of his sons and grandsons. Undoubtedly, I am very ungrateful. Did he, therefore, take my offense very seriously and, along with his wife, drown himself in the Ganges? This is a purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Pandavas, especially Maharaj Yudhishthira and Arjuna, anticipated that after effects of the battle of Kurukshetra, and therefore Arjuna declined to execute the fighting. The fight was executed by the will of the Lord, but the effects of family agreement, as they had thought of it before, had come to be true. Maharaj Yudhishthira was always conscious of the great plight of his uncle Dhritarashtra and aunt Gandhari, and therefore he took all possible care of them in their old age and aggrieved conditions. When therefore he could not find his uncle and aunt in the palace, naturally his doubt arose, and he conjectured that they had gone down to the water of the Ganges. He thought himself ungrateful because when the Pandavas were fatherless, Maharaj Dhritarashtra had given them all royal facilities to live, and in return he had killed all Dhritarashtra's sons in the battle of Kurukshetra. As pious man, Maharaj Yudhishthira took into account all his unavoidable misdeeds, and he never thought of the misdeeds of his uncle and company. Dhritarashtra had suffered the effects of his own misdeeds by the will of the Lord, but Maharaj Yudhishthira was thinking only of his own unavoidable misdeeds. That is the nature of a good man and a devotee of the Lord. A devotee never finds fault with others, but tries to find his own and thus rectify them as far as possible.
ఓం అజ్ఞాన తీవ్రాంతస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాఖయా చక్షురుల్మిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః.
హరే కృష్ణ. సో ఇన్ దిస్ పర్పోర్ట్ నేచురలీ యుధిష్ఠిర్ మహారాజ్ హీ ఈస్ షోయింగ్ హిస్ ట్రూ నేచర్, ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ అ డివోటీ. ఈవెన్ దో Dhritarashtra and his sons treated Pandavas in such a heinous way, still Maharaj Yudhishthir didn't consider them to be their enemy. No, he took revenge at the last stage of Dhritarashtra's life. So, these are wonderful qualities of great devotees. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, it is mentioned what are the qualities of devotees. So, it is mentioned, Titikshiva, Karunika, Suhrada, Sarvadehinam, Ajada Shatrava, Shanda, Sadhava, Sadhu, Bhushanam. So, the characteristics of devotees are, their qualities are, Titikshava, they are very tolerant. So in case of Pandavas, in case of Yudhishthir Maharaj, we can say they are so tolerant. They were tried to kill in so many different ways. They tried to give poison. They set fire. They were sent to the forest. They had to go through all the sufferings in the forest. They had to face the warriors in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. They were cheated in the match of gambling. So in all respects, they were mistreated, but still they were tolerant. And in the most unavoidable circumstance, Pandavas actually fought the battle of Kurukshetra. And after the entire battle, then Yudhishthir Maharaj is very remorseful of his act. So he is not trying to find any fault with the opposite party. So he is very tolerant, and it's Karunika. He is showing compassion to his uncle, Dhritarashtra. And he is Suhrida Sarvadehinam. He is the friend of all devotees. He is the ever well-wisher of all the devotees and all the living entities. So Srila Prabhupada always writes, his book is titled, You Are Ever Well-Wisher. So when he writes many mails, at the end he writes, You Are Well-Wisher, You Are Ever Well-Wisher, like that. So that's the nature of a devotee who is well-wisher of all the living entities. And they are bringing forward the nature, the qualities of Krishna himself, because he is Suhridam Sarvadehinam. So the same characteristics. And finally, Ajada Shatravaha. Ajada Shatravaha is, there is no enemy for such a devotee. In other words, he is non-envious. And he is Shanta, he is very peaceful. So that is one of the special features of Maharaj Yudhishthir, Dhira Prashanta. So Nectar of Devotion explains one of the characteristics, one of the qualities of Krishna is Dhira Prashanta, who is sober, who is very kind, who is very magnanimous. So that characteristic is also shown by his pure devotee, Yudhishthir Maharaj. So we can see that. And Sadhava Sadhubhushanam, and he is adorned with sublime characteristics. And that is Sadhubhushanam. And he is always abided by scriptures. So even Krishna, he is always abiding scriptures. It is mentioned that the killer of the demon, the killer of the Madhu demon, he is always see through the eyes of scriptures. And we can see the same point in Bhagavad Gita also. He quotes Vedanta Sutra as reference. Even though whatever comes from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Veda, is scripture, still he quotes Vedanta Sutra to show the proof as a Vedic authority, as a Vedic evidence. So these are the characteristics of great devotees and also of the Supreme Lord. Now here, a very interesting point is mentioned that even though Pandavas and Yudhishthir Maharaj had to go through so much of sufferings, and indeed there was a lot of misdeeds from the sides of Dhritarashtra and the Kauravas, still he never tried to find fault with them. So even at the fag end of Dhritarashtra's life, Maharaj Yudhishthir is not criticizing Dhritarashtra. He is just still welcoming him, and he is genuinely concerned about the welfare of his uncle and aunt. So this is something which is very difficult for any conditioned being to understand. How could one be so non-fault-finding? Because by nature we are fault-finding. That is the very nature of the conditioned beings. We are meditating on others' fault, and given a chance, especially in our casual conversations, the faults of others come out with no restrictions. It may start somewhere, but it can end up in finding some fault. And we do meditate. So in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami presents the characteristics of a sadhu as non-fault-finding. Nindadi shunya hrida eepsita sankhalagdhya. He mentions A pure devotee, he has, and especially referring to an Uttamadhikari, the first class devotee, he has Nindadi Shunya Hrida. He has no tendency whatsoever for Ninda, to find fault. So that is Nindadi Shunya Hrida, Adi. So, Rupa Goswami could have presented so many wonderful qualities of a pure devotee, of an Uttamadhikari, but still, he is pointing out this particular quality, that is non-fault finding, Nindadi Shunya Hrida, Ipsi the Sangalabdhya. So if you find such a person, then surrender unto him and take his association in the form of serving him. So this is the instruction of Rupa Goswami, nectar of instruction. So see, here we can see this characteristics is shown by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Now, this very day is very significant because today is Diwali, or more accurately, Deepavali. So, today we can go through some pastimes of Lord Ramachandra and, you know, some of his pure devotees. In that way, we can try to glorify the Lord and we can pray for his mercy. So here, first we will take a pastime, just show the same nature in Lord Ramachandra. He was non-fault-finding. He is Maryada Purushottam. He was so wonderful that we can take to the scene where the coronation for Lord Ramachandra was arranged and it was about to happen. So even before that, we had to go a flashback about the life of Maharaj Dasharath, Lord Ramachandra's father, and his wife, one of his wives, that is Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi helped Dasharath Maharaj in one of the battle by using her finger to fix the wheel. So it is just amazing how this Kshatriya lady acted. Because at that point in the battle, if Maharaj Yudhishthir was driven away from this chariot, then he would have been killed completely. So he had no option, and the wheel was coming out from the chariot. It was completely dismantled. And at that point, Kaikeyi, she took her finger and she fixed, she held, or in other words, she used as a shaft between the wheel and the chariot. So that was the power of Kaikeyi. And she was a Kshatriya woman and she was very powerful, and in that way she protected Maharaj Dasharath. And to this, Maharaj Dasharath was very grateful and asked for boons to Kaikeyi. Ask, you can ask any boons, I'll give you. However, Kaikeyi said, I don't need anything at this point, I will ask later. So that incident passed and the years went by, and as we know, Dasharath had three wives, you know, Kaikeyi, Kausalya, Sumitra. And now at this particular moment, now it was the most anticipated coronation of Lord Ramachandra. And it was the eve of this coronation. And at that point, Kaikeyi was misled by the wrong advice of Manthara. Manthara actually misled her by giving poisonous instructions. She incited fear in Kaikeyi, saying that if Lord Ramachandra would become the king, she wouldn't be treated properly, and she will be mistreated, and she will not get the same honor as she is getting now. So in that way, Kaikeyi was completely bewildered, and as per the advice of Manthara, Kaikeyi approached Dasharath Maharaj and asked for a boon. So Kaikeyi, she presented herself very much tormented, very much sad and morose. And Maharaj Dasharath asked Kaikeyi, why are you so sad? So Kaikeyi said, I need something and something is very much worrying me. So Dasharath said, it's not a problem. Tomorrow is the most auspicious day. It's the most momentous hour in our the whole dynasty, because Lord Ramachandra is going to be the king. He is going to be coronated. So Kaikeyi said, I need one boon from you. In fact, she asked for more than one. And those boons, she said, I want Bharata to be the king. He has to be coronated. Second, I want Lord Ramachandra to go to the forest. And he should live in the forest for 14 years. So hearing this, Maharaj Dasharath became completely sad. He started crying. In fact, he was about to faint. Why? Because he couldn't imagine separation from his son, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead. We had to understand, generally, yes, the relation of the parents with their son is very close. We can see in the Vedic culture, that relationship is very strong. Even the remnants of that culture we can see in India. That is, you know, the family ties are pretty strong. Now here, this relationship is not at all material. Maharaj Dasharath is a pure devotee of the Lord, and Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Lord himself. So their prema, their love is Vatsalya, is Vatsalya prema. So how could possibly Maharaj Dasharath think about separation from his own son, and that too this particular day? So he was completely devastated. He was crying. Second reason, think about the life in the forest. It is really hard. We usually say vanaprast. Vanaprast means going to the forest. As it is mentioned, Panjashadham Vanam Rajet. 50 years after, you go to the forest. But what is actually going to the forest? What is the torture of going to the forest? First, the life is not at all easy. One has to have matted hair. You know, Lord Ramachandra's hair is so beautiful and flowing, and instead of that, it is going to be matted hair. And he was living in the palace of Ayodhya, and now in the forest it is only thatched hut or caves of the mountains. That's all. And what about the food? There is no ambrosial food that is offered in the palace. It's only just fruits, vegetables and leaves which are available in the forest. And there is no chariot as in the kingdom, but it's just they had to walk all the way. So this is the life in the forest, and as a father, and he had to send his son to the forest. So how difficult it is for such a father, and that too he is in Vatsalya prema. And we had to understand it is next to the Madhurya ras. This ras, this mellow of relationship, is next to Madhurya. So such an intimate relationship between Dasharath and Lord Ramachandra, and he had to depart. So this was indeed, it was completely inconceivable for the king. So he was, you know, he was crying. It is difficult for a Kshatriya to cry. Think about a Kshatriya crying and that weeping, wailing. It's impossible. But with the separation of the Lord, he was actually doing that. Then another reason, the Lord, the Supreme Lord, he manifested his form as so tender. The Lord Ramachandra, his body is so tender. Even Mother Sita, if she touches the body of Lord Ramachandra, it becomes red. So that tender is the body of Lord Ramachandra. We can understand the same position in Krishna's pastimes. Even gopis lament, thinking about the softness of the skin of Krishna, and that too particularly about the lotus feet of Krishna. They lament, yatte sujada charanambruham saneshu bhitashane datha mrdadehi karkasheshu yenatavim adasiyat vedhate takimsit kotpadhi pramadit bhavat ayushamna. The gopis are lamenting, even we are afraid to keep the lotus feet of Krishna on our chest, then how could we imagine sending him to the forest? How could we go to the forest where there are so many sharp objects? So this is the lamentation of the gopis, thinking about the soft body of Krishna. Similarly, it is mentioned that Krishna's body is such that if a leaf falls, that to a newly grown, a new leaf actually falls on the skin of Krishna, that is bruised and torn. So this is one aspect of Krishna's body. It is softer than the soft. But of course we know, when he is hitting Chanvara, Mushtika, Kamsa, then his hands are strong, very, very strong. You know, when he was taken high on the air by Trinavarta, initially he was lighter than the light. But when he reached the top, when he had his trip nicely, then he had his flight nicely, then he came down very fast, because he became heavier than the heaviest. So of course we had to understand the inconceivable nature of Lord Ramachandra, we had to understand the inconceivable nature of Lord Krishna. That is, they can go either sides. But here, yes, for his father, obviously he is concerned not about his strength, but about his tender body. So, considering all these things, Maharaj Dasharath was completely tormented and he was lamenting. And Kaikeyi said, okay, now go and tell Ramachandra what he has to do and keep up your promise. But Dasharath had no strength whatsoever to go and approach Ram. He was still crying. So Kaikeyi herself sent some messengers. In fact, on the request of Kaikeyi, Dasharath asked Sumantra to bring Lord Ramachandra. And Sumantra went and he actually brought Lord Ramachandra. And Ramachandra, he could judge the situation. There was something gone wrong. So he asked, what happened? So Dasharath, he had no strength to speak. He was still weeping. So Kaikeyi said, grudgingly, Kaikeyi said with a lot of anger that your father had given me a promise and now it is up to you whether he can fulfill that promise or not. And that is, for 14 years you had to go to the forest and we had to make Bharat as the next king. So he has to be coronated. So this was the request, this was the promise that I have asked from your father. And now it's up to you whether you can fulfill or not. And Lord Ramachandra, he happily said, yes, I can. He was not emotionally agitated. He was happy to renounce the kingdom. He was happy to renounce the whole royal order. He was ready to go. But at that point, he made a very profound statement to Mother Kaikeyi. And it is very worth thinking. He mentioned to Kaikeyi, just upon your order, I am ready to depart from this kingdom. I am ready to go to forest just upon your order alone. Not only that, I am ready to part from my beloved wife, Mother Sita. I am ready to part from Maharaj Dasharath. I am ready to part from my own life. So this was the detachment of Sri Ramji. And he said, just by your order. And now, look, Maharaj Dasharath, the emperor himself, has ordered. So I am more than happy to leave, to keep up his promise and to give you happiness. See how non-fault-finding is Sri Ramchandra. So he is the Lord himself. He is manifesting this quality. And of course, we know the torture they had to go through. They went to the forest, lived there for 14 years. Finally, Mother Sita was abducted and Ravana's heinous activities and the whole battle in Lanka. And let's consider what happened when they returned. When they returned, okay, of course, as we know, Maharaj Dasharath had already departed from this world out of sorrow from Lord Ram. When he departed, when he reached Ayodhya in Pushpak Viman with Mother Sita and Lakshman, Sri Ramachandra, he offered obeisances to everyone. And he offered obeisances to Mother Kaikeyi also. See, he was not at all grudging. He never complained. So this is the spotless characteristics of Lord Ram. So we had to meditate on this. And we have to assimilate, we had to think, how can we implement this non-fault-finding characteristics in our own life? It is difficult, but it needs conscious effort. We remember in the last Japa retreat done by His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu, he gave us a band, a rubber band, and asked to put us on one of our wrists. And said, from tomorrow till tomorrow morning, what you do, whenever you criticize anything, anyone, knowingly, unknowingly, doesn't matter which degree, you change this band to the other hand. And when you do the next time, do the same process. Continue how it goes. So that will make you remind, that will make you conscious of how many times are you criticizing. And why it happened during a japa retreat? Because our japa will be affected by such criticism, even a minor criticism. Because the holy name, the Naam Prabhu, takes that as an offense upon himself. So he will not reveal himself before us. So that was an exercise we had to do. I think I changed 2 times, I think. And some devotees managed not to, some had to do more times. So this is how it is. So we are prone to criticism. So this we can see in Lord Ramachandra, how he was very, very pure-hearted. Now, I'll present one more pastime regarding Lord Ramachandra, showing his kindness and how he is the real master, how he is ready to bestow all benedictions to one who is taking shelter of him. So as we know, in the pastime of Ramayana, Hanuman jumped, he leaped up to Lanka and he created a havoc, right? He destroyed all the gardens and he just created a mess out of Lanka. They were thinking no one could attack Lanka because it was an island, it's separate in itself, and they had the most powerful army, and Ravana was so proud he was the most powerful, but still just a monkey could destroy practically the whole Lanka. So Ravana ordered all the ministers, okay, we need all the four types of armies. They should actually capture this monkey, and the whole thing was going on. But Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, he was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, and he understood what was going on. And he advised Ravana not to do this. Return Mother Sita, otherwise this is going to be the destruction of entire dynasty. Lord Ram would certainly kill Ravana. That was the advice of Vibhishan. But Ravana didn't hear. So Vibhishan thought one thing. I don't want to be with my brother. He's wicked. Rather, I want to go and surrender unto Lord Ramachandra. So Vibhishan, along with four of his assistants, they flew in the sky. They flew to India, to the southern part, where near Rameshwaram, where Lord Ramachandra was settled. So, Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Hanuman, and all other Vanara Sainya, all the army of monkeys, they were stationed there. And this monkey army, they could see huge five Rakshasas flying in the sky. And they were astonished. They were thinking, is that all these Rakshasas, are they trying to kill all these monkeys? What's going to happen? And they saw Vibhishan in the sky, and they had beautiful celestial jewels, and their body was decorated. And seeing this, Sugriva was very much doubtful. He was very suspicious of what's going to happen. So he said, he was discussing with other monkeys, this time these Rakshasas are trying to attack the monkeys, and they are trying to kill Lord Ramachandra. So we had to do something about this. So, of course, Vibhishan, he's a mystic and he can fly and he can see what's happening in the ground. So he heard this and he said, don't worry, I am brother of Vikat Ravana, who had kidnapped Mother Sita. I had already advised Ravana to return Mother Sita, but he has forsaken my advice. So I have given up his association. I have come to surrender unto Lord Ramachandra. Even though all these monkeys, they heard this, Sugriva was not at all convinced by this statement. So he approached Lord Ramachandra and he said, look, these Rakshasas have come, his Vibhishan, and also his planning to surrender unto you, but I think they have some ulterior motives, because he can never judge such Rakshasas. They are ferocious and they won't mind doing anything. So Lord Ramachandra, he was a king, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he manifested his pastime of taking advice from his counselors. And here all his counselors were monkeys, because he had an army of monkeys. So he was taking counsel from monkeys. He again asked Sugriva, so what should I do? What do you think? So Sugriva gave a very wonderful logic. He said, look at Vibhishan, he has forsaken his own brother. So think about his character, one who is ready to give up his own brother and ready to come to the opposite party. So definitely he is our enemy. So even though he says that he wants to surrender unto you, we should never give him shelter. We should rather attack him. We should actually kill him. Then Lord Ramachandra approached his another confidant, that is Hanuman. And Hanuman, as we know, Hanuman is well versed in all Shastra. He's not just a monkey. We know he is the son of Vayu. He has well versed in all Shastra. He knows all the Vedas. And in fact, one time Lord Ramachandra thought, say, okay, he was a great devotee, still thought, it would be wonderful if Hanuman can become my assistant. And if he can become my messenger, that would be the most wonderful thing. Why? Because one who has actually studied all four Vedas and who has mastery of all four Vedas, he can speak so wonderfully. So, such a person can actually stop one from killing. Suppose one person is coming to kill with a weapon, but a person who is well versed in four Vedas, he can talk in such a way that he would drop his weapon. So that was the ability of Hanuman. So Ramachandra asked Hanuman, so what should I do? What do you think? Hanuman said, it is just like Uddhava was speaking to Krishna. In the same way Hanuman spoke to Lord Ramachandra. The first statement of Hanuman was, you are Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know everything, and for me there is no need to advise you. Because you know what is best. You can judge better than anyone else. Still, if you want me to advise, I will give you advice. As a service. So Hanuman said, yes, what you should do, from the words of Vibhishan and from his gestures, it is obvious that he is not our enemy. When he said he wants to surrender unto us, unto you, unto Lord Ramachandra, it is true. So, you can actually give shelter. So, this was the statement of Hanuman. So, Hanuman was very wise. So, Lord Ramachandra, he thought, okay, even an enemy, he again considered Shastra, as we discussed, one of the qualities of a devotee, as well as the Supreme Lord, that is Sadhava, meaning, he is always abided by the scriptures. So, Lord Ramachandra considered the scriptures and he said, okay, even an enemy comes and surrenders, then we should give him shelter. That point, Sugriva, he became a bit angry. He said, no, we shouldn't. We had to think about your protection. So you shouldn't actually give protection. He said, Rakshasa. That time, Lord Ramachandra, he became a bit angry. He made a very profound statement. He said, it's mentioned in Ramayana, in Yuddhakanda. It's a beautiful verse. It's mentioned, Sakriteva prapannoya stavasmiti cha yachate abhem sarvadatasmai dadamyeta vratamama. Rama concluded, if a person come to me saying, I am yours only once, then I shall give him courage and protection from all danger forever after. This is my solemn vow made here before you all. Even if Ravana himself came to me, I would not refuse him shelter. Bring Vibhishan here, for I have already granted him safety. So, when Vibhishan told the very first time that I have come here to surrender unto Lord Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra had taken it completely seriously. Even if it is just jokingly says, I am yours, just once, then Lord Ram is saying, Abhayam sarvada tasmai dadamyeta vratamama. That is my pledge, that is my oath, that I would certainly give him all protection and courage. From hereafter, from that point onwards. So this is the quality of a great master. He is a Supreme Lord. He is the great master. And is so kind to the devotees. So this is another quality that we can meditate on this auspicious day. Then we will move to a beautiful pastime of one of the great devotees of Lord Ramachandra. So this is in connection with Lord Chaitanya's trip to South India. Mahaprabhu, he was in his South Indian tour. He went to Rangakshetra. He had a stay with Venkata Bhatta. He delivered the Brahmana who was illiterate. Then he went down to Mathura. So he reached the east of Mathura. And there he met a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra whose name was Ramdas. So this devotee was a great authority on Lord Ramachandra. And he was completely detached from all material activities. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took bath and he was invited by this Brahmana and Ramdas and asked him to stay at his home. So he stayed at his home. It was noontime. Sannyasis, Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi and he takes 3 times bath. And lunchtime he took bath and he came for lunch. But nothing was prepared. So Mahaprabhu was a bit astonished. He asked Ramdas, why didn't you cook, dear sir? So Brahmana said, we are living in the forest. So Lakshman has to bring some vegetables and then Mother Sita can cook something and then only we can eat. So he was completely absorbed in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So he was living in the forest. That's it. So that is the absorption in pastimes of the Lord. So, in fact, Mahaprabhu didn't feel, oh, I am hungry, bring me something. Mahaprabhu was very pleased by the statements, by the sentiments, and by the mood in which this devotee was spontaneously worshipping Lord Ramachandra. So, Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Still then, Brahmana cooked some food easily, you know, in a hurry, he cooked something and he offered to the Lord, and Lord had something. And Lord had a look at this Brahman Ramdas. He was still not eating anything. So he asked, why don't you eat anything? He said, I am fasting. So Mahaprabhu asked, why are you fasting? He said, there is no use for me to live in this world because this wicked Raman, Rakshasa, he has kidnapped Mother Sita. So for me, this Mother Sita, she is goddess of fortune, and a Rakshasa has touched the body of Mother Sita. She is a universal mother. So I have no reason to live anymore. So I am fasting and I am going to die. So he was already fasting, and this time he cooked for Mahaprabhu. Still he was not prepared to eat anything. So Mahaprabhu was very much concerned because this devotee is going to leave his body because of starvation. Mahaprabhu said, don't worry, because Sita Devi is the dearmost wife of Lord Ramachandra, and she is goddess of fortune, and she has a spiritual form of bliss, and no one can practically touch her. No, even material eyes can't even see her, what to speak about touching her. So my dear sir, don't worry, you eat something. So he said, there are Puranas, there are Vedas which are actually describing the glories of Sita, and that the glories show that no one has actually touched Mother Sita. You just believe my words, just have faith in my words and eat something now. So this Brahmana Ramdas, he had faith in Mahaprabhu's words and he cooked and he ate something. And in that way Mahaprabhu saved the life of Ramdas. Then Mahaprabhu proceeded to Rameshwaram, and when he reached Rameshwaram, he found so many Brahmanas discussing various Shastras. And at that point, they were discussing Kurma Puran. And in the Kurma Puran, a particular section which was describing the narrations of a chaste woman. That was the section they were discussing. So, Mahaprabhu happened to hear the pastime as discussed by these Brahmanas. And they were great devotees of Lord Ram. And the point they were making was, Mother Sita was never touched by Lord Ravana. Because when Ravana came to abduct Mother Sita, there was a fire and Mother Sita entered that fire. And then only the Maya Sita, which was produced by Agnidev, was kidnapped by Ravana. In that way, Ravana was cheated. So Mother Sita was in the abode of Agnidev. And then at the end, when there was the Agni Pariksha, when the test of fire, then the Maya Sita went inside the fire and the real Sita came out. So he read in this Kurma Puran, and Mahaprabhu was very much happy. Because now I have some written proof. And in fact it's mentioned, he got a copy of this Kurma Puran and he went back to Ramdas and he gave this copy. And Ramdas was completely happy. So this actually proves our philosophy intact, makes our philosophy intact, that no demon can actually touch Mother Sita. They have a transcendental body. How is it possible to touch? How can they kidnap? How can they defeat? Nothing is possible. So it is mentioned, these two verses are taken out from Kurma Puran. I'll read those verses, very nice. Sitaya aradhito vanil chaya sita aji janat tam jahar dashagriva sita vani puram gata pariksha samaye vanim chaya sita viveshasa vani sita samaniya tat purishastat aninyat. When he was petitioned by Mother Sita, the fire god Agni brought forth an illusory form of Sita, and Ravan, who had 10 heads, kidnapped the false Sita. The original Sita then went to the abode of the fire god. When Lord Ramachandra tested the body of Sita, it was the false illusory Sita that entered the fire. At that time, the fire god brought original Sita from his abode and delivered her to Lord Ramachandra. So, this is the beauty of the pastime. So, Mother Sita was untouched by Mother Sita. Now we will discuss a little bit regarding Srila Prabhupada and Deepavali. So Srila Prabhupada actually wrote to Pradyumna Prabhu in 67 that Lord Ramachandra's victory celebration is observed in the last day of Durga Puja. Vaishnavas are not concerned with Durga Puja. Deepavali or Diwali is observed as New Year Day by certain mercantile community. The Vaishnavas have nothing to do with this ceremony. So, mercantile community consider this day as the New Year Day. But we don't celebrate in that way. We consider our, you know, New Year, you know, Gaur Purnima we consider. So, we don't consider this as Yeah. And a letter to Hamsadutta Prabhu, he mentioned in 68, Diwali ceremony can be observed in the temple by illuminating hundreds of candles in different parts of the temple and offering special prasad to the deity. So we can see today we'll have some lamp offering is there and there is nice offering to the deities. So we are actually celebrating Diwali in the same way. And also it is mentioned, the next day of Diwali is even more important for us than Diwali. And what is that? That is Govardhan Puja. So tomorrow is the Govardhan Puja. Actually, the Govardhan Puja is tomorrow, even though we celebrate it on Sunday. So that is another important point. And Deepavali, the significance is that Deepavali means, Deepa means lamp, Vali means numerous. So Deepavali means decorating the place with numerous lamps. And this is in celebration of Lord Ramachandra's return to Ayodhya after killing of Ravana. So it is mentioned after the arrival of Lord Ramachandra, the kingdom became the Rama Rajya. Meaning, there was no old age, there was no disease, no lamentation, no distress, and there was not even death. Those who didn't want to die, they wouldn't die. So this was Ramarajya. So Srila Prabhupada comments that people want Ramarajya without Lord Ram. So this is the plight of India. Many politicians, they argue for Ramarajya, but they don't want to worship Lord Ramachandra. They don't want to follow the rules, the prescriptions that are given by Lord Ramachandra. So this is the plight of the world. And to have Ramarajya, one has to worship Ramachandra. And Srila Prabhupada in that purport mentioned that simply by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can actually bring forth Ramarajya. So that is the beauty of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because Kalikale Namarupe Krishnavatar. So now there is no direct appearance of Lord Ramachandra, but there is appearance of Lord Ramachandra in the form of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So he says, if a certain population, certain percentage of the population start chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then naturally Ramarajya would manifest in this world. Then, this is a festival which is the lamp is, lamp signifies knowledge. So, it can remove, the signifies the removal of darkness, of ignorance. So, it is mentioned, after Lord Ramachandra arrived in Ayodhya, he thought that the Brahmanas are the people having no material attachment. So he divided the entire world in four directions, you know, south, east, west, north, and he gave the whole world in charity to Brahmanas. He gave everything, and it is mentioned that he gave so much that only he left with his personal garments, ornaments, and similarly the Queen Mother Sita was left with only her nose rings and nothing else. So he gave everything in charity to Brahmanas. And what did Brahmanas do? They didn't think, okay, it's a nice opportunity. Okay, we got everything. So we will change our occupation. Now we will start ruling the world. No, they understood. They returned everything back to Lord Ramachandra and said, you actually take care, you are the Supreme Lord and you take care of everything. We want to be simply your servant. And they offered a beautiful prayer. And this prayer is very significant and very important for us. It is mentioned, Apratam, Apratam nastoya kimnu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshara yanno tra hridayam vishwa tamo hamsi sa rochisha. O Lord, you are the master of the entire universe. What have you not given to us? We have entered the core of our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. This is the supreme gift. We do not need any material donation. So this has to be our prayer to Lord Ram for the day. That is, kindly enter our heart and remove the darkness of ignorance, and kindly give us bhakti unto you. So that if we can get that, then our life is successful. And also Lord Ramachandra, praying to Lord Ramachandra is so significant because he has actually killed the manifestation of lust in the form of Ravana. So the lust within our heart can be removed by the mercy of Lord Ramachandra. So in that way we can approach Lord Ramachandra. And finally, there is one more significance for this day, on this Deepavali day. And the significance is that, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, it is mentioned that the Damodar Leela happened on this day. So that is also a very special day for us, because one of the very dear pastimes of the devotees of the Lord, that is Damodar pastime. So this is the day, it is mentioned that Mother Yashoda was actually preparing for Deepavali celebration. It's also mentioned Deepamalika celebration. And for that, she was arranging everything. She was making special milk preparations. And on this day, actually, Krishna enacted Damodar pastime. So in that way also, today is very significant. So we can pray for the mercy of Damodar. We can pray the mercy of Lord Ramachandra. So I stop here and see if there is any one quick question, because we don't have much time left. Yeah.
You said that on the advice of Hanuman, Lord Ramachandra accepted the vision.
Yeah.
Now, Hanuman has already met him. So can you say, because of the friendship he developed with the vision, that he recommended that he...
Yeah, actually, that is one thing. But Ramachandra, he knew already.
Yeah.
He's omniscient, so he knew already. So, hey, both. It's the past time, everything fits together.
Initially, Hanuman did not, that's what I heard. Initially, Hanuman did not accept the division surrender to Lord Ram. And he will say that Ram, please, for your safety and protection, we need to think about it, division and surrender. And Lord Ram will tell, if somebody leaves everything and come back to me for surrender, and if I did not accept, but people will think of me. So they will go for long conversation with Hanuman and Ram. They will give themselves.
Okay.
They both.
Where did you hear? What is the source?
From Shishu.
That I don't know. I'm just speaking from Ramayana as given in the Krishna Dharmapur. Krishna Dharmapur, his translation. It's a very beautiful translation, Ramayana. I'm taking it.
Actually, Hanuman is not against, but yeah, he will say that
he is considered. But it is mentioned here that Hanuman, he knows of all the Shastra. He actually, speaking from Shastra, his advice is just do it. I don't know.
Vision actually helped Hanuman.
Yes.
How to go, where to go, how to find Sita?
In Lanka.
Yeah,
so there is that link also. This is after that. Maybe different source. But this is, I'm sure this is from Valmiki Ramayana. Prabhu has translated, so maybe we take this up already. I don't know. There can be many variations when you approach many sampradayas, same person can have many variations. So I can't comment so much on it. But this verse is very famous. It's from Ramayana, from Yuddhakanda. Sakradeva prabhanoyastha vasmiti jasite abhayam sarvada dasmayadadamiyadadratamana. It's quoted in Srimad Bhagavatam also, in the sense, in the purports, as well as in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Ramachandra's logic is, even anyone just comes and surrender, even once, if someone says, I am ready to accept him. So, yeah.
Criticism and So it's always best not to judge and not to see with our eyes and our own how it appears to us, because we don't know what's behind, what was before, and how we don't know the reasons of everything. We can't see other people. That's why it's best not to judge anyone and anything.
Yes.
Leave it. This is all Krishna's plan, and there is some purpose behind it. And we should only mind what we need to do.
Thank you very much. Grandrashimal Bhagavatam.
In Madhya Yasoda is celebrating Diwali, so when did Lord Ramachandra appear?
Treta Yuga became like Satya Yuga because of presence of Lord Ramachandra, because during the reign of Lord Ramachandra. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Lord Ramachandra Bhagavan ki, Sai Gaur Premanande.